Few moments about the way in which that first promise, the seed of the woman who would come to crush the serpent's head, he, the seed of the woman, would bruise the serpent's head, but the serpent would bruise his heel. How that promise, right at the very beginning, is worked out for us as we've read through the Bible tonight about the birth of a baby in a poor place, far away, a baby when he was born, the world did not take a great deal of notice of it. But in fact, that first Christmas was bringing God's promise to us, a promise that God had made thousands of years before when God had said, I will put enmity, that's warfare, between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your seed, the seed of the serpent, and her seed, the descendant of the woman. He, the one who's going to come, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And we need have no doubt about who that person whom God promised to send is, because the Bible takes up that language and applies it directly to the victory of Jesus over Satan. Now, that's not lost on the writers of the Bible, and it's not been lost on to the Church of Jesus Christ down through the ages. That right at the beginning, in the first book of the Bible, God gives a promise where there's a promise of salvation, deliverance, rescue for all who will believe upon Jesus Christ. Very quickly, four things I want you to see, though, in that promise. And the first is that salvation begins with a curse. Now, that sounds shocking, and in many ways it is. To think tonight that our salvation begins with a curse. When God comes to that garden where Adam and Eve, our first parents, have rebelled against God, God asks questions. What is this you have done? Where are you? Now, even in that, we see something of the kindness of God. God wasn't asking questions because he needed information. He was asking questions like you ask a child, perhaps. The child's been caught red-handed doing something wrong, and you ask, what are you doing? What God was drawing from them was a response of repentance. But when God speaks to the serpent, he doesn't ask questions. He delivers a curse. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. But you notice God does not say to Eve, you are cursed. God does not say to Adam, you are cursed. Now, he does say to Adam, cursed is the ground for your sake. But to the serpent, God says, you are cursed. Because there, even in that pronouncement of God's judgment, for us there is hope and a blessing and a promise. It's one of the reasons that we sing at Christmas time, joy to the world, the Lord has come. That'll be our last hymn. And to say, no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes, the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ comes, to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. So right here at the beginning, there is a promise, hope, blessing, rescue. It begins with a warning of judgment. But the questions that God asks of you and me tonight through his word, when you think about this seed of the woman who's going to come, Jesus Christ, it's to cultivate in us, to make us aware that we have a need before God for forgiveness. And God draws from the hearts of those who believe repentance, turning from every other way to God, and faith to say, yes, I'm going to trust God. God's promise of rescue. Salvation begins with a curse. Secondly, salvation begins with God inaugurating warfare. God says to Satan, today, a battle, a warfare is beginning. It's interesting that God, in his words to Adam and Eve, never says to Adam and Eve, well, because now you have rebelled against me, this is what you must do. You must wage war against the serpent. No, God intervenes. I am declaring war, says God. I will put enmity between you and the woman. And in that declaration, God is saying to Adam and Eve, and he's saying to you and to me, not save yourselves, not even I'll give you a helping hand to save yourself. God says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to war for you. I am going to save you. God takes the initiative. God does something. God inaugurates warfare on our behalf. That asks a question of us. Are you relying on Jesus Christ tonight for your salvation? Or are you doing something thinking that by what you do, you'll try to save yourself? The Christian faith is about trusting in God's rescuer, that God has done something. Trusting in what God has done through Jesus Christ. Salvation begins with a curse. Salvation begins with God inaugurating warfare. Thirdly, salvation begins in a most unlikely way. The seed of the woman. God says a woman is going to bear a child without the intervention of any human man. And from that child of promise, I am going to bring rescue, deliverance, victory. So the promise of the seed of the woman is a theme through the book Genesis, the first book of the Bible. 41 times the word seed or offspring or descendant or child is found. And then all the way through the Bible, God says to Noah, I establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you. To Abraham in Genesis chapters 12, 15 and 17. To you and your seed, your descendants, your offspring, your children, your children's children. And then throughout the Old Testament, the seed of the woman, that's what is being looked and expected and hoped for, this promise of God. Sarah waits a long time for a child of promise. Ruth is given a child in an amazing way. Isaiah says that a virgin will give birth to a child. And so the promise goes on and on until Mary, the Virgin Mary, the handmaiden of God, the virgin bears a child. So the New Testament picks up that theme, the seed of the woman. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. By the intervention of the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. The seed of the woman, born under the law. So you see what's happening. Satan thought he would abuse the woman and use her as an instrument to bring destruction. God says, though that's Satan's plan, to bring sin into the human race by the defection of the woman and the man, God says, I will bring the seed of the woman who will crush the serpent's head. And in an amazing way, God tells Satan exactly what is going to happen. Like a general looking out at a battlefield and saying, let me tell you what my battle plans are, how I'm going to achieve victory today. I'm going to use the woman, says God, to bring into this world the Savior of the world. And the seed of the woman, the Savior of the world, the deliverer who's going to come, will crush your head. how God reverses the schemes of the evil one. The thing that Satan would use against us, God turns it around for his glory and our good, that our salvation is all going to be bound up in a woman bearing a child. The seed of the woman, who the Bible says clearly is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So salvation begins with a curse. Salvation begins with God inaugurating warfare. Salvation begins in a most unlikely way. Who would have thought a child in an obscure part of the Roman Empire, born to poor parents, laid in a manger, that child, the seed of the woman, this is how God will bring salvation, rescue, deliverance to the world. But notice salvation begins, finally, we see, with a promise of victory and death. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, you might have expected, perhaps, that Genesis 3:15 would stop by saying, he shall bruise your head. God saying to Satan, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to have victory over you. The seed of the woman is going to come and bruise and smash your head. Now, of course, that's true. Jesus Christ did come, the seed of the woman, and he did crush the serpent's head. And he did gain a great victory. But the poignant thing is that God says, the one who comes into the world to gain that victory, he will have victory over you, Satan, but you will strike him at his heel. If a venomous snake were to strike your heel, without an antidote, you would die. In the crushing of the serpent's head, the seed of the woman will die, because Satan will bruise his heel. But that's not the end of the story. Because although the serpent will strike the heel of the seed of the woman, God will declare him to be the Savior and the victor by raising him from the dead, the living Savior tonight, the seed of the woman. But in that promise, there is victory, yes. But to achieve the victory, the seed of the woman must die. This is a costly victory. Our salvation is a costly thing. You are not redeemed with gold or silver, not with any precious thing in this world, not with money. Not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, his death, to achieve salvation. The only way for what Eve and Adam have done in their rebellion against God, which has affected us all. We are born into this world as rebels, and naturally we live as rebels against God. And the only way for that to be reversed is for the seed to come, the seed of the woman, and to bear for us the curse we deserve. Yes, it's a poignant thing that Adam and Eve never hear God say to them, I curse you. But when the seed of the woman comes, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he makes his way to the cross and dies in the place of all who will trust in him, bearing their sins, he bears the curse. The seed of the woman declares, my God, why have you forsaken me? The seed of the woman, the victor, he will bear the curse for us. He dies in our place as substitute. That we can know that curse reversed. Because God justly has dealt with it. The seed of the woman has taken it away. So when Adam and Eve listened to the serpent in the garden, who said to them, there's something better than God. They believed it. They acted on it. It plunged them into misery. But God intervenes and he says, I'm going to go to war for you. I'm going to send the seed of the woman, my son, for you. I'm going to send a sinless substitute for you. And the seed of the woman will bear the curse for you. It's the great promise of hope. It's why Christmas for the Christian is such a wonderful thing. Jesus Christ comes for his people to reverse the curse, to bring salvation, to bring hope. And in that promise for you and for me tonight, that God can grant you to understand that salvation is bound up in God's promise of a savior, a rescuer, a deliverer, the seed of the woman, that you might say, in that promise, I believe, I trust, I rest, I put my confidence, my hope. The curse my sin deserves, Jesus Christ reverses it for me because I trust in him. He brings me salvation because I trust in him. There is forgiveness of sins. There is hope, hope of eternal life. Trust in the Savior, the rescuer has come. So the hymn writer puts it like this. He says, joy to the world, the Lord has come. So let every heart prepare him room. In every heart, in every life, in every person's individual experience, make sure that your trust is in this living Savior, Jesus Christ. Prepare him room. It's a great question. It's a great challenge for you and me tonight. Do you know that place of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the rescuer, the King, in your heart, in your life, in the control center of life, the heart? So you say, I'm not going to say there's a better way than God. Something better than God. I'll live without God, live my own way. No, no, you turn from that way and you say, this promise that God sent a rescuer, the seed of the woman, why is the birth of Jesus Christ unique? Well, because there's a virgin conception. There's no intervention of a man. Mary, the child she bears, is the result of the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy One to be born to her, the one who was born without sin and lived without sin, yet bears the curse for us at the cross. This is God's way of rescue. So let every heart here tonight prepare him room. And then heaven and nature will sing, he comes to make his blessings known as far as the curse is found. And you can know that in your own individual experience tonight, when in faith you turn to this deliverer, the seed of the woman, for your rescue, your salvation, your savior, your Lord, your King. We're going to sing together as our final carol tonight, this 311. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. And then look what it says. Let every heart prepare him room. You find him in your heart tonight, room there, as Lord, Savior, King, and heaven and nature sing. 311, we'll stand to sing this, our closing hymn. you stand to receive this great blessing for those who make room for Jesus Christ, own him Lord and Savior. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen.